welcome back to another Daily Walk. And today we want to talk a little bit more about what we discussed on our Thursday message with the message to Joshua. And we said in there that we are saved for righteousness, not licentiousness. And the purpose of this is to suggest that when we are saved, it is not fire insurance that we are seeking to get as far away from God as we can and keep our salvation. It's not that we want to go ahead and keep on sinning, have as much fun as we can, but still may squeak our way into heaven in the end. You know, that whole D's get degrees. No, that philosophy doesn't work. We are saved to be righteous, not saved for licentiousness. In other words, not saved to do what we want to do in a more sinful context. Now, with that being said, we are not here talking about salvation is not a matter of works, but the process of sanctification we'll talk about leads us to live a life more in line with Christ and less in line with the worldliness that we came out of. And we're going to explain all of that in the course of today's daily walk. Of course, all of us have lived a past life of sin. In fact, in Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So we have all sinned. We are all in this state of eternal condemnation, but God saved us by His grace. So we are saved by His the grace of which is a free gift. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves; it is the gift of God." In fact, further in Acts 15:11, we believe that we, this is the Jews, are saved through the grace of the Lord, the same way they also are. This is Acts 15, is this council where Paul and Barnabas are coming back to the church in Jerusalem and reporting to the apostles all that God has done in the world through the Gentiles. And so they're discussing what must a Gentile do to be saved? Does he have to follow the law of Moses or whatnot? And the final culmination is that it is the Jews, are saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the same way that they also are, they being the Gentiles. As long as you place your trust in Christ, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, you come to Him. So we are saved by grace, and it is a free gift. But as we are saved, we are not to continue our life of sin. So some of these verses we covered in that message on Thursday, we're going to get into a few more verses here as we go along. But remember that we came out of sin, and we are commanded not to go back. The two verses I mentioned in the message on Thursday were in John 5:14, which says, "Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple." This is the person that he healed of his blindness. "Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'Behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing else happens.'" In other words, go and sin no more, which is the same message that he gave to the woman caught in adultery. Notice this is just a trip to try and trick Jesus. You know, they bring this woman caught in the act of adultery. Well, why didn't they bring the man? You know, it does kind of take two people to engage in that sin. No, this was a sting from the Pharisees to find something to accuse Jesus of. And after everybody leaves and does not want to condemn her, he asks, verse 10, "Straightening up, Jesus said to her, 'Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?' And verse 11, she said, 'No one, Lord.' And Jesus said, 'I do not condemn you either. Go now and sin no more.'" In other words, do not continue this adulterous life. Do not continue this fornicative way. Do not continue this prostitution. Go your own way, free of this condemnation, but stop sinning. He does not say, "Oh, that was great. It doesn't matter. See, you can do what you want. Just keep on doing that. You're doing great. No one's going to condemn you, see?" And that's kind of where the problem lies. But the implicit command to him is go and sin no more. Now, Paul expands on this quite a bit in what I think is probably our key verse for our section here. This one's a new verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 really gives us the bulk of what we should be doing in our Christian life. "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord Jesus, you walk no longer as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous and given themselves over to the sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ this way. If indeed you have heard him and have taught in him, just as in the truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay off the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. In other words, we were come out of this world of sin. We've come out of this life as a Gentile, this life as a wretched sinner, and we are commanded to walk no longer in those ways. Instead, we must walk in the ways of Jesus. And that is what Paul is talking to them. Now, this is the doctrine of sanctification. Sanctification is the cooperative doctrine. Of course, election, this is the divine election is something God does. The accomplishing of your salvation, Jesus on the cross, this is something that God does. But when it comes down to sanctification, this is a cooperation between God's Spirit and are walking with him. So this is that one of those elements of the Christian life that we actually participate in the fullest sense, that we are commanded to live out the life of a Christian. We're commanded to know what it's like to sin and to not sin. We're commanded to seek out what is righteous and holy and good and truthful. And we are to understand that our purpose is to walk more like Christ and cast off. Two resources on this topic. First is last January at a church down in Arizona, I had preached a message on this whole, how all of these doctrinal points, salvation and election and the basic TULIP principles and sanctification and glorification. I did a whole sermon about how all of that fits in. Yeah, you can find that here on YouTube. I released it last year. But then also, you can have a look at my book, Josiah's Sanctification, which talks quite a bit about this principle, where what does it really mean to walk like Christ? And that book really is a really nice, good, short, easy read. My book, Testing and Temptations, is much on the similar principle as well. So you can have a look at either of those two books in addition to the message I delivered, which is here on this channel. But the principle of sanctification is that we are to go in sin less and less over time. Now, how does this work in generalities? Well, we have to draw nearer to God. In James 4:8, it says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." In other words, go out and seek to get as close to God as you can. If you're as far away from God, well, I didn't actually pull this verse out, but in 1 Peter, I think it's 1 Peter 5, it says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, if you've watched the Discovery Channel or any show about, you know, lions hunting in the desert, they don't go into the center of the flock. They pick off the ones on the sides. If you're drawing close to God, the roaring lion of the devil will leave you alone. You're too close to the guy that he knows can squash him like a bug and say, "Get out of here, Satan, get, like swatting away a mosquito." He goes for the guy that's getting as far away from God as he can. He's going after the guy that's not really paying attention. He's going after the guy that's just kind of out doing his own thing. Okay, that's a really good verse I should have brought in. I'll go ahead and link that in the notes. But we have another similar principle in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all our sin. And this is an important principle that we must draw near to God and sit in the light. In the latter part of John chapter 3, it talks further about walking in the light. And those that are not in the truth, they seek the darkness. They seek to get away. It's like cockroaches. You turn on the light and they scatter. Horrible scene. If you walk in your house, you turn on the lights and you see things kind of out of the corner of your eye disappear into the dark crevices. Well, that's what we like to do with sin. And then the final principle is we have to resist the sin in the world by controlling our input. Okay, that is the most important thing that we can do as Christians, is watch what we are putting into our mind and into our spirit. In Psalm 101, verse 3, it says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not fasten its grip on me. So seek the best you can to not set worthless things before your eyes. Paul writes in Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh regarding its lusts. Don't seek to give a little titillation here and a little scintillation there. No, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and seek that sanctification. And we'll wrap up with a verse from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. So we are to put on, we are to wage war with the lustly flesh. We are to seek the righteousness of Christ. We are not saved to continue in a life of sin. We are saved unto righteousness, not unto licentiousness. I mentioned two of the books I have here. Those are Testing and Temptations and Josiah's Sanctification. You can have a look at those on the website, ourwalkinchrist.com/books. You'll find those and the other books that I have over there if you're interested in those. And you can pick them up anywhere you can buy a book online. Softcover, ebook, and audiobook formats are available. With that, thank you for watching, and I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's T-O-M-M. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.